Thank you for tuning in to God Is, as we live in the light of the presence of God, totally dependent on Him for life, for every breath we breathe, whether we acknowledge this or not. And we are identifying certain characters that emerge in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, as Jesus begins His final week of life leading up to His death on the cross. And so we have, of course, Jesus. And as usual, He is with His disciples. And then we've met the chief priests and the elders of the Jewish people who want the Lord dead. And yesterday we came to a specific leader, a man who, every time he is mentioned in the Bible, has such deep-seated hatred for Christ. He was the Jewish high priest, and his name is Caiaphas. C-A-I-A-P-H-A-S. Caiaphas. And let me read to you just five verses at the start of Matthew 26. So verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people." There you have it, friends. Caiaphas is right in the middle of the plot to kill Jesus. Caiaphas, the Christ killer. And last time I told you about his position and his power, today I want to share with you some other scriptures from within the Gospels that will prove to you just how relentless Caiaphas was on ending Christ's life. Ultimately, but under the providence of the living God, he succeeds. Or does he? Christ's resurrection from the dead works this priest into a lather. So let's go ahead and look at these verses now. And if you have your Bible there, follow along and or jot these down as you take some notes. And I'm going to start over in John's Gospel at chapter 11. What I'm going to do here is to link what I said about Caiaphas yesterday, his position and his power, and how he was hell-bent on keeping both, to what he says about the Lord in John's Gospel. And so as we come into this chapter, if you will read it, we get to observe with great enthusiasm Jesus bringing his friend Lazarus back from the dead. As we will soon see, Jesus loved his good friends Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. And when Lazarus dies, Jesus makes his way to the tomb, and one thing leads to another, and after Jesus prays to God the Father, he cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Stunningly, Lazarus does. And this miracle really disturbs the enemies of Jesus. Word has spread that Lazarus, while dead as dead can be for several days, is now as alive can be. And this resurrection from the dead causes many Jews to believe in Christ as Messiah. And this threatens the position and the power of Caiaphas and the chief priests and elders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin. With that as context, listen now to John chapter 11, verses 47 through 53. "Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, 'What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.' But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, 'You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish.' Now he did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him." That was John's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 47 to 53. If you're taking notes, that's John 11, 47 through 53. And I want to give you three insights into what I've read. First, notice in verse 48, the Jesus haters reason with one another. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Now, doesn't that sound to you like a group of men who are worried about their positions and their power being stripped away? Yes, it does. Essentially, they were saying, We've got to put a stop to Jesus, gentlemen. Now this supposed Messiah is raising people from the dead. If our fellow Jews keep believing in him, they may stir themselves up against us, and we may have a riot on our hands. And if that happens, those Romans are going to crack down on us. The Romans will take away our place in our nation. We're going to lose it all because of this blasphemous Jesus. Keeping position and power, that's the key. And notice second how right away in the very next verse, verse 49, Caiaphas speaks up. Caiaphas, the Christ killer. In verses 49 and 50 of John 11, he speaks, "But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, 'You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish.'" Here's how the evil Caiaphas meant this. Either Jesus dies, or the Jewish nation dies. And on the surface, this sounds ever so nationalistic. Good old Caiaphas has the nation in mind. But we already know better based on what we've learned about him thus far. He wants Jesus dead, and now he sees a way to get what he wants while pretending to have the nation's best interest in mind. The motives of his heart are impure, but when he speaks, he flavors his words with such purity. But God, sovereignly, had another purpose for Caiaphas' words. Unknowingly, Caiaphas prophesied the divine intent of Jesus' death. John chapter 11, verses 51 to 52. Now Caiaphas did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. Ah, yes, despite the wicked intentions of the high priest, God the Father was, as always, in charge. Jesus will indeed die, and not only for the Jews who were scattered abroad, but also for the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the children of God who are scattered abroad. My third insight is quick. Notice verse 53 here in John 11. So from that day on, they planned together to kill Jesus. And so my three insights into Caiaphas in John chapter 11 are these. First, he and the others desperately want to hold on to their positions and their power. Second, Caiaphas proposes killing Jesus to save the nation. Now this is one sinister man. Again, I say Caiaphas, the Christ killer. As is evidence to my third insight, these depraved men are planning the death of Christ. Their plot thickens. To understand this great enemy of our Master Jesus, you have to know and think about John chapter 11. Let's turn now again, still in the Gospel of John, to chapter 18. Let's pick up the reading in John chapter 18 at verse 12. I'm reading John 18, verses 12 through 14. So the Roman cohort and the commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was expedient for one man to die on behalf of the people. And this repeats what we already know. The Romans and the Jews combined arrest Jesus and bring Jesus to Annas, who, as we learned yesterday, was the father-in-law of Caiaphas and his predecessor as high priest. And verse 14 repeats the prophecy that Caiaphas has made concerning Christ's death. And so now follow me down in the text of John 18 to verse 19. This is John chapter 18, verses 19 through 24. Listen to how Jesus is treated in the presence of the high priest. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together, and I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said." When Jesus had said this, one of the officers standing there struck Jesus, saying, "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify of the wrong. But if rightly, why do you strike me?" So Annas sent Jesus bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. The act of striking Jesus Christ certainly speaks to the humiliation of our Lord. Who is this officer that he should strike the Son of God? But they are humiliating Jesus on purpose. And when we read a little further, still in John 18, we come to verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium, so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Ah, so it is Caiaphas that turns Jesus over to Pilate, and Pilate is the Roman military commander or governor. The case the Bible builds in Matthew and in John is that Caiaphas is the one person most responsible for the death of Jesus. Caiaphas, the Christ killer. And just before we end today, I want to take us back to Matthew's gospel so that you can hear how Caiaphas charges Jesus with blasphemy. That is, the charge that Jesus was lying about being God. This is Matthew 26, verse 57. Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. And now I continue down to verses 63 through 66. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He deserves death." Jesus has correctly said that he is God. Caiaphas falsely accuses Jesus with blasphemy as he, for dramatic effect, tears his robes, as if he even cares about who God is. This is an evil man, and I want to comment on the implications of his life for our own lives tomorrow on God Is.